Almost all have reconnected. So let's wait just one more minute to allow everyone to join again. And then we start. I hope you had a very nice break. So the second part will last, as you know, 2 hours. It's going to be the real intensive part. But I mean, we hope and we are sure that we will survive also to this second part. Okay, so let's start again. I'm going to share my
Steph, sorry to interrupt
yes,
you. Maybe you can mention already that at the very end we have a quiz competition.
Yes.
That the three questions are based on the presentations you're going to do.
You're going to spoil. No, are you spoiling?
No, I'm just saying to the colleagues that they have to pay attention in order to win at the end.
Yes, you're right. I should admit that I already spoiled it in the group
Me
discussion.
Me too. That's why I think that it's fair for all of them to know. But okay.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
As both we did.
So what did you say that they're going to win? Did you mention what they're going to win?
No, I didn't put any prize, but we can discuss it maybe.
Absolutely. A coffee for sure once you pass by Genova and or Athens.
Or Athens, yes.
Yes.
Or Juvascula. Okay.
Juvascula. Okay. So let's go back to our agenda. I share my screen. Okay. Here it is. Okay, the second part. So as you can see, now we will concentrate more on DIG Comp Edu and the self-assessment tool. So we will try to keep this introductory part as short as we can, but I mean, it is important that we also look together into some of the elements of the key content of the course, which are related mostly to the digital competence of educators. And then, as you can see, you will have 45 minutes to do your self-reflection. We will also give you some hint on how to proceed for this task. And then we will move to the other key part of the course that is related to this backward design approach for designing online and blended activities. And then we will have what Panna has already mentioned, this closing session with some remarks, with this quiz competition, and then also a soft feedback. Okay, I think we are ready to start and enter into the topic of the digital competence of educators, which has been discussed and addressed by several studies and several authors, and they independently from the key elements that have been put out, that have been highlighted, all the models that are trying to capture and describe the competence of educators point out the fact that this is definitely a multidimensional concept that encompasses different levels, such as motivation, self-regulation, beliefs, which strongly impact also on the characteristics of the competence of educator, and it is essential for decision making. There are also a number reference framework that are trying to capture these the characteristics of these of the digital competence for educators. Most of these reference framework, as you can see here, some example, have been developed in the context of a specific project or a specific national context, such as this one developed by JISCS for the UK context, or this one that has been developed for by the Norwegian Directorate, so they are in a way contextual bounded, or are inspired and adapted from other digital competence framework, such as this one that has been developed by the Ministry of Education, a branch of the Ministry of Education in Spain that derives from another competence framework for the digital competence of citizens. So this is to say that there is a heterogeneity as well in this regard, but what is definitely an important element and a question that has been particularly addressed by the Commission is how to operationalize this competence and to try to contribute and to address this this question. The Commission, the European Commission, and in particular the Joint Research Center of the European Commission, has developed the DigCompEDU framework that has been released in November 2017, so quite almost 5 years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago. And this competence framework describes what it means, so what are the key characteristics for educators to be digitally competent. This framework describes the digital competence of educators at all levels, so from primary education up to higher education, tertiary education, so also trainer, a professional trainer. And it is articulated, it includes 22 competencies organized in 6 competence area described, the 22 competencies are described in 6 level of proficiency. So as you can already understand, it is quite a rich and challenging also framework. It is part of a more broad set of framework that has been developed by the European Commission Joint Research Center to describe the digital competence. Here you can see the DigComp framework, which describes the digital competence of citizens, and it usually take as a reference for addressing the digital competence of students. And there is also the DigComp.org, which describes and grasps the characteristics of educational organization, the digital capability of educational organization. And now the last one, that is the DigComp.edu framework. Okay, so how it is defined, the digital pedagogical competence of educators? It is important, first of all, to highlight that the main focus of this framework is on the pedagogical dimension of the digital competence, not the technical one. So this framework really describes how digital technology can be used by educator to improve and support the pedagogical process, so the teaching and learning process. And here is the definition that has been adopted within the DigComp framework. As you can see, educators' digital competence includes the set of knowledge, skills, and attitudes specific to the teaching profession in the digital age. It covers the professional, pedagogical, and contextual competencies that educators must acquire in order to use digital technologies effectively in all areas of their professional activity. It's very much important to highlight this pedagogical dimension because other framework and other references exist with regard to the technical competence, the technical aspect of the digital competence. Rather here, the emphasis is on pedagogy. Here you can see a visualization of this framework. As you can see, there are the 6 areas that we have already mentioning, and also the shape of this representation point to the fact that there are actually 4 areas that constitutes the core and that encompasses the educator's pedagogic competencies, and then 2 additional areas, one which look into educators' professional competence, and the other one which look into the connections between the educator digital competence and the learner's digital competence. So how, what are the kind of ability the educators should develop to support the development of the learner's digital competence? During this course, we will actually focus on these four core areas. So we will not have the opportunity to look in detail into these other two areas, but the framework, as you can see here, is available if you are interested in to dig more into this area. So what are the digital competence that the educator should acquire to improve in their professional engagement, and as well as to support and facilitate learners' digital competence. First of all, why the Commission has developed this reference framework? Because, I mean, the main aim of this framework is to provide a background, a reference framework. Also, the way in which the Commission developed this digital competence framework is very much important to be highlighted, because differently from the other example that I show at the beginning, that are in a way bounded to a specific project or to a specific national context, the approach that is used by the Commission take into account a variety of approaches, a variety of existing frameworks. So usually the approach consists in analyzing the state of the art. What are the existing framework? What are valuable experience in that field? So there was an extensive analysis as well about existing framework on digital competence of educators. Then the second step is to do a comparison among the existing set of references and identify the common elements that emerge from this comparison and draft an initial common framework. And then the Commission undergoes a number of consultations with the different stakeholders. In this case, the consultation were with educators at all levels and also other key actors in the field of education, to refine and further improve the initial draft, and then release another version and do a validation workshop with other stakeholders in the field to consolidate the proposal. So as you can see, there is also a solid approach behind the development of this framework. So the other aim of this framework is also to guide and to provide a reference point at policy level and also for developing training programs, as well as provide a common language and approach in the field. Here is, I mean, what I already anticipated, the kind of approach that is being used by the Joint Research Center to develop such framework. Okay, here you can see another visualization, sorry, of the framework. As I mentioned, we will mostly focus on these four central areas that, as you can see, regard the digital resources, the area teaching and learning, the area of assessment, and empowering learners. So how educators can effectively use digital technologies to improve their competence in this area, to support the activities mostly related to these four areas. Here you can see also the six proficiency levels. And as you can see, they reflect the European framework for languages that goes, I mean, from a very basic proficiency level that point out to the awareness of the teacher, up to a much more higher level of competence, which even bring to innovation. Now, the final scope of this competence? First of all, for sure, there is no intention or there is no purpose to indicate that each educator should reach the highest possible level in each of the 22 competences. Rather, it is mostly intended as a way, as a kind of compass to for each educator to understand the personal strengths and also to identify areas of improvement. So the ultimate scope is not to reach the highest level in each of the competence or in each of the area, but as an educator, identify those, I mean, first of all, the personal strengths. So where my competence is already developed at a certain level of proficiency, what are those areas that needs more attention, where I should improve that? And the decision also stands with the personal vision of the educator, the pedagogical vision of the educator, and the specific disciplinary area and education level in which the teacher work. Based on this consideration, and also based mostly from the on the DICCOMPEDU framework, the European Commission has also developed a self-reflection tool named Selfie for Teachers. This self-reflection tool has been released in October last year, so it's a very recent one. It is an online, open and free tool available, most, and that has been developed specifically for primary and secondary teacher. Now, as we mentioned, the DICCOMPEDU framework has been developed for all educators, so it described the digital competence of educators at all level. Rather, this self-reflection tool has been mostly developed for secondary and primary teacher. Although we will propose you to use this tool because it has been also used in previews and by other in other courses with university teacher, and it has been proved to be a very valuable tool to prompt the reflection, the self-reflection on the digital competence. The fact that it focuses on primary and secondary teacher is mainly related also to the kind of example that are provided, we will see, within the item that constituted the tool. But it is strongly based on the DICCOMPEDU that, as I mentioned, is for teachers at all level. This tool has been tested by over 4,000 teachers in four European countries. And the tool, Selfie for Teacher, is composed of 32 items. In each item, a specific aspect of a competence is described, and it is articulated in six levels of proficiency so that the educator, the teacher, can position himself or herself in a specific level based on his own perception, on his or her own perception. So what is the main purpose of this self-reflection tool? As I mentioned, to stimulate either an individual teacher, or we will see also a team of teacher, to reflect, to take a snapshot of the current status of their digital competence. It is not at all designed to assess or rank teachers' performance, but really to empower the teachers and help them to reflect on their own personal strength and area of improvement. And the end of this self-reflection process, a feedback report is released. The whole process, as well as the results, the feedback report, are absolutely accessible only by the teacher. So no one else, including the commission, can have access to this feedback report. Because, as I mentioned, the main aim is to provide the teacher with teachers with an opportunity to reflect. And it is aimed also to provide input that the teacher could use to for their personal and professional growth. So how it has been developed, this self-reflection tool? Also here, the Commission has established a solid approach that usually starts from capturing the characteristics of the digital competence in a theoretical framework, in this case, the DICCOMPEDU framework. And then identify elements and transforming these elements into a self-reflection tool. So starting from the description of the 22 competence proposing the framework, the Commission has, together with experts and stakeholders and teachers, have identified those elements that were essential to be included in the self-reflection and transform these elements into a self-reflection item. This self-reflection tool, we have already mentioned, has been validated by over 4,000 teachers and educators, and the pilot was completed last year. Here you can see an initial, snapshot of the of both the self-reflection environment. As you can see, there are the areas, but we will, in a minute, I will show you, I will bring you inside the tool just for a short demo. And this is also a snapshot of what are the results that the tool provides. Before looking into the platform directly, I just wanted to show you how it is structured inside. So as you can see, for each area of competence, there are actually a short description of the area. And for each area, there are a number of items. What I did not mention, and I apologize for this, is that the four areas that are part of this course will be analyzed more in detail, including each competence, including that area, during these 4 days of workshop. So tomorrow we will start by looking more in detail into the digital resource area. And then you will look together with Maria and Lisa during the workshop on day 3 and day 4 into the other three core areas related to teaching and learning, assessment, and the empowering of learner. As I mentioned, these two lateral, let's say, area, professional engagement and facilitated digital learner competence, will not be addressed directly in this course. Okay, so for each area, there is a short description of the competence area inside the Selfie for Teacher tool. And then there are a number of items which try to help the teacher reflect on their digital competence in that particular aspect. As you can see, there is also a statement which indicates what this competence is about. So for instance, digital resources, searching and selecting, which is a key competence described in the CompEDU framework, that relates to using searching and selection criteria to identify digital resources meeting teaching and learning aims. As you can see, this competence is then articulated in 6 level, proficiency level. And each proficiency level statement an action verb. I use, I analyze, I reflect. Use also some example. And these are, as you can see, example which help to clarify the nature of this proficiency level. And for some terms, there is also a contextualized glossary available. So the educator, in this case, also you, in a moment, you will have the opportunity, based on your perception, on your understanding, to position yourself in one of these levels and then move to the next item. And while you're doing this, you can save the other, added value of this tool is that allow the educator to do this self-reflection process in different steps. So for instance, take the reflection of related to one area, then save, and then come close the platform and then go back in another time and continue this self-reflection process. Today, we will ask you to complete all the areas and all the items so that then you can download your personal report, your individualized report, and get this overview of the status of your digital competence. Here is also another visualization of the results that you will get at the end of this process. As you can see, there are the area of the digital competence, DigCompEDU framework, and then more details area by area regarding the position of your, how you position in that area. Now, I apologize for this picture, which is in Italian, and I only notice now that I have a big in front of me. But I mean, here you can get a sense of the kind of information. As you can see, you don't only have an overview of your digital competence, but you also have a more detailed and descriptive feedback for each competence. So what are the position, the level that you have declared, you have included, and some hints on how to move to the next level. So what kind of actions you could consider starting to improve your that specific competence. So the Commission foresees the use of this tool to improve and to support continuous professional development learning of teachers. So the idea is that the teachers take this self-reflection, download its individual feedback report, and based on the result, it can start thinking and design a professional learning plan to improve in those areas that have been that need more attention. Implement the plan for professional learning, for instance, by taking specific courses, by joining community of practice, or working with colleagues to improve their competence, and then being able to apply this new competence in their professional practice, and then the cycle can restart. Okay. What I mentioned also before, there is the opportunity also to do this kind of self-reflection as a team of teachers. What does it mean? It still means that any individual teacher does her own reflection process alone, but also as an individual, but also as part of a group. So the moderator of a group has the opportunity to receive from the platform anonymized and aggregated data of all the members of that group, and be able also to use this information to fine-tune, for instance, a training course. And this is also what we would like to propose you today. So we have set up a Selfie for Teacher group. So we will share with you in a moment the link to connect. As we mentioned before the break, you should have already set up your own account on the platform. And by using this invitation link, you will do your self-reflection individually, but your data will be anonymized and aggregated together with the other member of the other participants of this course. And we will have the opportunity to see all together what are the snapshot of the digital competence of this group. So I stop for one moment the presentation, because I would like to bring you directly into the platform. And in the meantime, if you have some question, please unmute your microphone and go ahead.
Stefania.
Yes?
I've already started to do it last week, but I do it in Italian and not with your invitation. Of course, I need to start it again. It's best.
If you can, yes, that would be great. Sorry, I lost in the meantime. I was lost in the platform, Maria Rita. Sorry, you can see now, because when you share your screen,
yes, I know. Completely
disconnected, and I get easily lost. Yes, if you can retake it so that we have all the data aggregating, and it's also a way for you to see what does it mean to have a result. So, for instance, you might even consider, for those of you who are, for instance, teaching to future teacher, you might also have the opportunity now to see how it works. And if you think that is a valuable opportunity, you might propose also to your course participants at the beginning of one of your module to undertake this self-reflection process. And then, as I said, it is very safe. It is very, safe at individual level, in the sense that all the information remain anonymized and aggregated. So there is no way to go back to the individual results. So it's a way for you also to see how it works, the group functionality of the platform. I see okay. Two raised hands. So Pan, do you forgive me if I give first the floor to Elif?
Ladies first, thank you.
Yes, this time, yes.
Thank you. No, I was going to ask you, I took this as a pre-task actually, and I have already completed the survey a few days ago, but I haven't saved the results because it asks at the end if I want to save it or not. So I'm not sure if I have to redo it or should I save it to have a feedback from the system or from you. I don't know what I should do now.
Yes, and thank you very much, Elif, for having pointed out this important part. I will show you in a moment also how it looks inside, etc. But definitely you will see that every time that you fill in one item, there is a save bottom at the end. And I really recommend you to always say, or at least not for each item, but after you have done four or five items, save. Because in this way, I mean, as I told you, the system allows you also, I mean, for the future, to undertake the process in different steps. Second, because at the end, you can receive this information, this individualized report. And this is also the reason why you have to sign up in this platform because, I mean, in this way, the commission can give you, you know, a kind of safe place where you can undertake this self-reflection, and also you can save your individual report. And periodically, after you have undergone, for instance, some professional learning path or some more experience, you can go back to the platform with your account and take again the self-reflection and see also compare the results and how did you improve in some areas, etc. So it's also in a long perspective. Pam, sorry, go ahead.
Thank you, Steph. I wanted just to clarify that as Steph said, the idea is that she will invite you to do it as a group. And there, Steph, I think that each of the colleagues can do it also in his or her own language. Yes. This does affect, so you can do it in your language.
Yes.
But the only condition is that if you use the invitation provided by Steph, then we can have also the aggregated data, and this is important. So in the case that you have already started doing, I'm afraid that you have to repeat, correct?
So. Yes, exactly. So I have just copied and pasted into the chat, in the Zoom chat, the specific link that you are going to use. But I kindly ask you to just give me one more minute. I swear I will be very fast. Just to show you, I mean, the platform very, very quickly. And then I will ask you to use this last link that I just posted here and start your self-reflection using this link. So basically, when you, enter into the platform and sign up, you are immediately brought here, where there is, you know, your individual self-reflection, okay?
Steph, maybe you have to share your screen.
Oh, sorry. I was talking alone. Okay, sorry. Okay, here we are. Can you see my screen? Yes? Okay. Let me know if you don't see. Okay, as I said, once you have signed up, you are immediately brought here in the homepage where there is the individual self-reflection, and you can start as an individual. Today, we will instead use this group activity, this group self-reflection. As I mentioned, still remain an individual self-reflection, but as a manager of this group, for instance, if you are also interested to use this, you can create a group with a short description. And once you have created the group, indicating the, you know, the starting date, the end date, as you can see here, I have put today midnight as end date, because in that way, tomorrow I will have the results that are aggregated and anonymized. The results of this group self-reflection, so that tomorrow we can see together also, I mean, what kind of results the platform allows to download for a group. And you have also, your request is also to include the number, estimated number of group participants. It is important to highlight that if the 50%, at least the 50% of participants should complete the self-reflection. Otherwise, the system does not allow the group manager to receive any aggregated data. This is an extra, insurance from the commission, because in that way, if there is not at least the first 50% of participants, they want to be sure that there is no way also to identify if the number is too small. There might be the opportunity to identify the specific results from individuals. So that's why they request at least the 50% of the number that have been included. So you will, by using this modality, I will also see while you are doing your self-reflection, how many people are already completed it. So also for you in the future, you have a way to monitor, and then we will be able also to download the data. So I already show you how the item are proposed. So I really invite you to follow the link that I put here in the chat, and you will have 55 minutes, so 40 right now, 40 minutes. During this self-reflection, we kindly ask you to keep the connection in Zoom, to just mute your microphone, but stay connected. And also you can use the Zoom chat for any question, or even unmute your microphone and ask for question. Remember to, okay, get through each item, save quite often, and then at the end, you will be requested to download your report. So we invite you to download your individual report as well, because it will be an opportunity for you also later on to look in those area and those competence that needs your attention. Okay, so if you do not have any question, we will we will give you a bit of space and time. As I said, 40 minutes to do your self-reflection, and the link is in the chat. If you have any doubt or question, please come back to us. We'll stay here. Yes, please, absolutely. So, so far the system, the platform tells me that 7 participants have completed their self-reflection. So we estimated, the whole group to participate. So we need to reach at least 10 participants to be able to download the group report. So I kindly invite those who have not completed yet the self-reflection to do it by the end of the day, so that tomorrow we can look together also into these group reflection results, self-reflection results, and see how the aggregating and anonymized data are also made available. So we can briefly exchange also on this experience, though tomorrow we will have also a dedicated session to that. But please share your idea.
My experience was good. Actually, I discovered that I really at the beginning. So I mean,
don't worry. Yes.
This is actually because I'm doing this course. So
Absolutely. Thank you, Francesco. And I know also the feeling, because when I did the self-reflection, I also, I mean, found myself in some area more than I originally thought, being in a level that, I mean, was not, I mean, I didn't thought actually. So, yes.
Yeah, and also the nice thing was that at the beginning, no, they ask you how you self-evaluation. At the beginning, at the end, the same question. And it was at the beginning, I was too much optimistic, I would say. But okay.
This is probably because, Francesco, is that normally you have in mind a more narrow understanding of digital competence. But when you put all the different areas, you see that in some of them, for instance, searching information, communicating and so on, we do a lot, but maybe on the content creation or other stuff, we do less. And this is exactly the idea, to have a comprehensive definition of the digital competence as educators. The European Commission has also developed two other tools, and with Steph, we have been involved in the development of all these frameworks and tools. And the idea is that you have a different framework for digital competence as a learner, another one, this one for digital competence as an educator, and another one as an educational organization. And in all these cases, there is a quite comprehensive definition of what does it mean to be digitally competent. And we never say that you have to be on the top of all these areas, because sometimes you need more on this and that. Just to be aware that there is also something more. But Tula wants to say something.
Yeah, I was like to ask, according to my understanding, I have submitted my, but then it says that not submitted. Can you, Stefania, see if it's there?
I unfortunately, Tula, not, because as I mentioned, only the individual teacher have access to his own profile, not the group manager, not even the commission. But so, did you save? Did you save?
I saved.
For sure it's there. It's maybe you can try and check in the tab, which is under my home.
Okay.
Sorry, I give you in English. And then in my home, there should be a section with your report.
Okay.
But if you do not find it, please also contact. There is a contact us. Contact the platform, and I'm sure. I mean, they can they can help, because there is the. You can download, of course, your feedback report and results. In the meantime, I just took the liberty, and I mean, I wanted to post also a sentence, and I forgot. I put in the chat a link to a dedicated page, because Italy has contributed to do the pilot of this self-reflection tool. So for those who read Italians, there to this link, you find all the reference material for DigiComp Edu, the Italian version of DigiComp Edu, as well as information about the Selfie for Teacher tool in Italian. Apologize for this distinction, but I thought, I mean, this is another extra resource. But also on the digital platform of Selfie for Teacher, you, if you have the time to explore a little bit, you will see that there are already a lot of material available, videos, guidelines, that I mean, for those of you who are interested, would provide very interesting reference materials. So thank you also to Tula and Francesco for having shared. As I said, tomorrow we will have a specific session on this, where we will also review the results as a group. I mean, we see also what kind of data we have, we can have as a group and as an individual. So did the other, or I mean, who completed the self-reflection, were you able to download your individual report? Okay, that's great. So Tula, definitely, if you cannot find it, please write to the contact service, to the help service, because they will definitely.
I think I found something.
Fantastic.
I forgot to fill one box.
Don't worry. No problem. And also you will see that you can download your open badge as well, and participation certificate as well in the platform that are released by the Commission as well. Okay, so I suggest that we move to the very last part of this first intensive day. So I will kindly ask Pan to introduce us to the backward planning design approach. As we mentioned, today we have an initial look into this approach, and then tomorrow we will have another session dedicated to this approach so that we can progressively familiarize. So Pan, thank you.
Exactly, thanks Steph. Exactly, today it's just the introduction, a short presentation, and some time for questions and answers. And tomorrow we have almost 1 hour, we'll do also something on Mural, working in groups as earlier this morning. And we already discussed in my group earlier, I trust the same goes true for the group with Stefania and Lisa. If we use some specific design models or any other way to plan our courses. And also Maria mentioned that in the previous edition of the course, the first edition, they presented another model, the ABC. There is Andy. There are several models out there. Each of them has its value, pros and cons. But this one, the way that we use it in the second edition and also in this one is because, as you will see in a second, it is not only for planning courses, targeting knowledge acquisition, but also skills and competencies, and fits very well with this COBEDU framework that is about a specific competence. That's why we think that together are a very good, complement each other and create a comprehensive set of tools. The one is for planning, the backward design, and the COBEDU is for reflecting and understanding better what does it mean to be digitally competent as an educator. So I will share my screen with you to have this short presentation. And then, as I said, we will have some time for questions and answers. Okay. So, backward design. What is this? What I'm going to present is based on the book that Grant Wiggins and J. Mac Tite. I'm not sure if I pronounced correctly the name. Sorry about that. When they first introduced this idea of backward design, you use backward design when you start with end in mind, with a destination, what you want to achieve, what your learners, the target audience, you want to achieve at the end of this process. And you design having in mind the what and how you are going to teach. Okay, this is very important. And then, as I said also earlier, this is very important when you want to have learning objectives that are not only targeting knowledge acquisition, but also skills and competencies, namely what learners can do at the end of this process. And this is also what we used in this course. In this course, we wanted not just to give you information and knowledge about the framework and this and that, but we wanted at the end to be able to do things, to use these tools. And then the other thing is that through this design, you try to create authentic learning activities because you invite learners to do things, to interact and work in groups and try to develop their skills and competencies. And let's see in a nutshell the three main steps that this backward design follows. The first is to start from the outcomes, the results you would like to achieve, the learning outcomes, the goals. Namely, you reply to the question, what do students need to achieve to learn at the end of this unit, of this module, of this activity, okay? So you start with this in mind, and then you go to the next step that is not to say I will do this and that, not, but how you will assess, evaluate, get insights if finally your students, your learners achieved what you put as an objective. So the question here is, how will the educators know that students achieved the outcome or outcomes that we put at the first place? And this is very important because, as I said earlier, the aim here is also to target the development of skills and competencies. And in this way, sometimes it's very difficult to assess the skills and competencies. That's why we all prefer to do more knowledge acquisition, because it's easier to have a test, you know, or you don't know, it's easy. But for skills and competencies, you need to have other assessment methods, sometimes more difficult. And if you're not able to evaluate and assess that your students learned in what degree the objectives, then maybe you have to reconsider and change your objectives. That's why also this is not a linear model. It is 1, 2, 3 steps, but this doesn't mean that when you are in 2, you can not go back to 1 and so on. And the last one is to plan finally the activities, the learning activities, that I will do this, I will do that, my students have to do this assignment or this reading or whatever. So the question here is, what do students need to do to arrive at the learning outcome we have defined? So it's the activities, the task, the technology, the material, all this kind of stuff goes at the end and not at the beginning. Okay, these are the three steps that you have to follow when you want to apply backward design, when you have to plan for your course. So it is a planning framework. It is not a learning theory. Backward design is not another learning theory, no. It's just a way to plan in advance your course, your unit, your activity. And you see here the comparison with the traditional methods that you have a topic, you plan some activities, and then the assessment, and this is it. Now, here, as we said, it is your goals and objectives, the assessment, and at the end, the activities. That's why we call it backward design, because somehow you start with the end in mind. So again, the three steps, identify the desired results, determine the acceptable evidence, and the plan for learning experiences and instructions. And here you see that in the first step, we speak also about big ideas and skills. And I'm going to explain this a bit, but here again, I want to show the difference between the traditional methods and the backward design. Because normally we know that in many cases you have a textbook, you have some units that you want to deliver, you write, prepare your lectures, some PowerPoints, some exams, and this is it. But this is instructor-centered, not student-centered. You don't take into account what are the new students' needs, what they can do at the end of the process. And we discussed already in the interactive session we had earlier that it's very important to know what are your learners, what are their needs, what is their level in terms of specific competence, and what finally they can do. And that's why you see here that in the this assessment part, we have also both formative and summative assessment. You probably know the distinction that is formative is also part of the learning, while summative is at the end of the unit, course, whatever. That's why it's very important. Again, you can have lectures, you can have homework and so on, but you define this when you have already in mind what you want to achieve, how you will evaluate, assess, and then you choose the best possible materials, techniques, learning activities, and so on. By the way, as we said several times, these slides will be already in Moodle. You can have access and you can check later on if you want. Here you see how a planning of this model looks like, because first you have the goals, the understandings, the questions, what students know and what students can do at the end of the process. then how you will assess what other evidence you will get or some performance tasks, and then at the end, the learning activities. I'm repeating again the steps on purpose because, as I said earlier, it's not something totally new, but the order is important, to follow this order and not go the other way around, to start from the activities, the syllabus, the learning plan, and then go to the assessment. It's very important to follow this order. Now, the first step to identify the desired results, it's crucial to prioritize. We discussed also in my group that sometimes we put so many learning objectives. That is problematic at the end because we want to do more, but sometimes less is more. So that's why we have to have in mind that you need some learning objectives for understanding that will stand for a long time. It's a long-term learning goal. It's important to know and do both skills and competence and knowledge, not only knowledge, okay? And what is worth to being familiar with, but you know, we need all these different levels, something that is more, let's say, at the core of the discipline on the course of the overall program, both knowledge and skills and competencies, and then some other also good to have, information and familiarization. But it's very important to prioritize. This is the key message here. That's why I put it in red. And when we say about the during understanding that it goes here in the core, it's about some big ideas, some essential questions of the overall project, program, unit, or lesson. For instance, if you have a project on language learning, for instance, what are the most important elements, the big ideas, or the most important stuff that your learners want to achieve? Okay, and as we said, it's both knowledge and skills that students will acquire as a result of this unit. So we begin with having this in our mind. To identify the desired results as learning outcomes, we can ask about the big ideas that are at the heart of the discipline. Can last for a long time, are transferable to other topics, disciplines. Sometimes you develop a skill, your creativity, for instance, that is important. It's important for this course, for this unit, but also can be transferred for other courses, other units. Also to connect both facts, information, knowledge, and skills. And requires some unpacking. It's not something that you can do at once, but requires some, constructive approach. You see here some examples, for instance, in mathematics, to apply mathematical knowledge, skill, and the reasoning to solve real-world problems. This can be one of the big ideas that you want to foster through your course design. Here also you see what we mean about understandings and essential questions. Understandings are what the students will take away or that summarize the desired insights about the big ideas, all these kind of things that are also important to engage and motivate students because this learning must be meaningful and authentic. Connected to the real life situations and so on. And that's why, again, I emphasize that it's not only knowledge, but also things that students can do so to develop their skills. And here again, some examples. For instance, if we have, for instance, a key understanding for language is to understand that great literature explores universal themes of human existence and can reveal truths through fiction, for instance. This is something that goes beyond one specific course module. Or one essential question here is, how can stories from other places and times relate to our current lives? Why we still discuss and study about ancient Greek tragedies and so on, because still the messages from these stories can relate to our lives. So this is something we have to keep in mind when we design the learning objectives, to have something that is also enduring and goes beyond the specific course or unit. Then the acceptable evidence is to try to gather evidence at several points, not only at the end. This is the key message here. And that's why we said it's both formative and summative assessment, assessment that is part of the learning process. And that's why it is very important also to find ways to assess also the skills, not only the knowledge. And here you see, for instance, different assessment types that can be used for the three different levels of learning objectives. The ones that are more at the core, for the ones that are knowledge and skills, and the ones that it's worth to be familiar with. You can still use traditional tests, paper and pencil, or online tests, but also you can have performance tasks and projects that are open-ended, complex, and so on, because otherwise it's not possible to assess the knowledge and the skills and the competencies without having something that is more open-ended and requires, in some cases, also collaboration. It's a task that it's to be done by a team and so on. Also, here in this model, they emphasize a lot the fact that it's very important for students to know in advance what is going to be the criteria that the instructors are going to use for evaluating their performance. That's why also, here you can use rubrics or other ways to make this assessment process very clear, very transparent. And in this way, students know what does it mean to be in each stage. Something similar with the proficiency level that Stefania presented earlier of Discobedu, that you know what does it mean to be in each of these proficiency levels. Here also, you know, in each of these different levels, what it is expected from you. And this is also very important to know in advance. And here is a quote from Wiggins and McTighe, that many rubrics describe a progression of skill from novice to expert. Our guest, however, is not for a rubric of skill development, but for a rubric that combines insights and performance related to understanding of ideas and meaning. Again, here the idea is that in this assessment that we plan to do, it's very important to have provisions to assess also how our learners can understand the big ideas and can create meaning and something that is meaningful to them. last is the planned learning experience and instruction. Here you have to identify the concepts, the principles, the procedures that the students will follow, and of course what you as instructor has to do in order to for the students to achieve the learning objectives you defined at the first step. And here you can use different methodologies. Some of you mentioned already some more participatory design methodologies for learning activities that are engaging, and students are not just listening to a lecture, but they are doing things themselves. And then, of course, to select what exactly activities, materials, and resources you are going to use to organize them, to present them. And here is also the time that you have also to decide about the technology you are going to use if we speak about a blended or online course. But we don't do this in advance. In our case, for instance, we didn't decide in advance we're going to use Mural or Medimeter or this and that. First, you design the activities the learning objectives, and then you say, okay, what do I need in terms of technology, in terms of tools, in terms of material and resources? There is this acronym here, the WHERETO, that helps you to design this learning experience. The W stands for helping students to know where the unit is targeting, is going. The H is hook all students and hold their interest. Equip students, explore the issues and experience the ideas. Provide opportunities to rethink and revise. This is also important. That's why we said that assessment is part of the learning process, not only at the end. And you have to give opportunities to the learners to reflect, rethink, and revise their progress during the learning experience. Allow students to exhibit their understanding and evaluate their work. Self-evaluation, peer evaluation is assessment is also important. But also opportunities for students to present things, to show what they have done, and so on. To be tailored to the different needs, interests, and abilities of learners. We discuss also this in the groups, but we know that's very crucial. To organize, to maximize initial and sustained engagement effective learning. This is very important, and this acronym, this word too, can help you to better structure your learning activities. But as we said, this comes at the end of the process. Here, there is an example from a book that we can share with you. These materials can also be found tomorrow in the Mural. And Steph is going to present you in more details, some examples. I wanted just to show you that in this design, when you have everything in a place well structured and always starting from the results, you can put, as we said, what students will know, what students will be skilled at. So you have both the knowledge and skills and competencies. You have the understandings and assessor questions. Then in the next step, you have the evidence that can be the evaluative criteria, how students will show their learning, the performance tasks that you will engage them. And then finally, you have the summary of the learning events and the instruction techniques you are going to use. There is also a very short video that it's available here. I don't know how much time we have. No, it's okay. I can skip the video. It's only 2 minutes, but you can see yourselves. It is already in the slides, and you can have a look. I think I can stop here to see. Oops, sorry. To ask you if you have any question. As we said at the beginning, this is just the first introduction. I repeated many times myself on purpose that there are three steps, learning objectives, assessment, and then learning activities. Then all the information is there. Tomorrow we'll apply this methodology, this planning approach in practice, and then you will have the opportunity to do it yourself and see it in practice. But now, if you have any question, I'm happy to answer. Okay.
Pan, no if question? If I just may. I think everything at the beginning seems very much challenging and very much, you know, in a way also a little bit scary, because there is a lot of things that undergoes within this approach. But I mean, what I wanted just to highlight again, because Pan has very clearly highlighted what we consider really useful, and that's the reason why this approach is more and more used in the blended and online courses, is that the reason why do we have to start from the end, from what usually is the end of a teaching design, that is the assessment. And the very basic idea is to have and to structure all the activities that we propose to students in online and blended learning as a way, as a kind of a gym. Okay, so we have to first of all reflect on the assessment to be sure that all the activities and the way in which we propose the activity and the contents provides a gym environment where they can exercise this competence that we expect them to develop. And as we have seen at the beginning, by competence we mean knowledge, skills, and attitude. So might be much more, I mean, sometimes in our courses we focus more on some on the knowledge aspect, but still we request them to have some kind of competence as well. So independently from where is the most of the weight, still all the activity should provide them a gym environment where they can exercise, they can confront themselves with the kind of last assessment activity that they will be they will have to face. So this is the basic idea behind the backward planning. This is why we go backwards. And this is also, we found very much useful as educator, as a teacher, I mean, designer of a course, to clarify ourselves what we would like really to have students demonstrate. So what is also the way in which we define that some kind of competence has been acquired might be very different kind of aspects, elements that should be brought into light. So that's why it is very much important to start from that and then arrange the whole learning path around that, even including, you know, these monitoring elements that allow us and the students as well to check where they stand with respect to where we expect them to reach. And very last final word is also about the way in which we would like them to assess. And this is another very crucial element, because also, I mean, the type of assessment, if it's going to be paper and pencil, or either is going to be a kind of a more digital assessment, again, all the activity and the formative assessment in a way should reflect that one, to avoid to have this mismatch between what we are asking and how we are going to evaluate them in the end and how they are practicing for reaching that objective. But I mean, I stop here because tomorrow we will see more in detail clear example of all these steps and then
yes, and tomorrow we'll see time. Also how to formulate the learning objectives the way that allow exactly. You then to assess deliver. Yes. Okay,
so I think we have scared you enough, so let's stop here for now.
That's why now we have prepared this quiz competition that is fun and engaging. So, Steph, can we move to the quiz competition, or we have...
No. Let's move to that, and then we wrap up and we close this intensive first day.
So, in this quiz competition, I will put now the link in the chat. You just click on this link, you write your name, and then I will activate the three questions. Here, you gain more points if you... the faster you reply, the more points you get, provided that your reply is correct, of course, okay? There are just three questions based on Disco Bedu and Self for Teachers. At the end, we'll see who the winner is, okay? Okay, let's...
So, Pan, maybe we can say that we're going to use this online open source software, which is named Mentimeter. and which allows to do this quiz survey also using image. So it's very flexible tool, very nice. And it was a way for us also to show you a very small activity that could also be proposed at the end of an online module, just to attract, and to point out if there are big elements that where students didn't catch or didn't grasp the core essential point. So it was not just to evaluate you, but just to give you an example and refresh some of the a lot of contents that we propose you today. So let's do the competition.
Okay. Let's start the game. So, let's go for the second. And the last one. And we have a winner. And the winner is, give me a second.
And the winner is?
Maria Rita.
Well, very well done.
Well done, Maria Rita.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Okay. I will stop it now.
So my baby helped me.
You got some suggestion.
Oh, yeah.
some feedback. Lovely. A little.
Okay,
more.
Now the last activity for today. We know that it was an intense day, but the last one is to give us your feedback about this first day, so to be able to try to improve things. So now I will put in the chat another Medimeter questionnaire, a very short one, where you just click on the scale from 1 to 5 and give us some feedback about the activities, the resources, and everything we did today. Okay. So you have 3-4 minutes to do this. And then we can close. There is also a second page, okay? I saw that most of you did the first one. Good. One more minute. Okay, shall we share the results, Steph?
Yes, please, Pan. Sorry.
Okay.
Fantastic.
This is the first part. So it seems that you have a good understanding of the objectives of the course. Well done, great. The same is true for Disco Bedu and the Self for Teachers and Backward Design.
Very good.
And let's see also about the overall structure of the Moodle and the navigation. As Maria said, we know that there are some issues with Moodle. It's quite slow sometimes. We try to solve the problem with the Universal Palermo technicians. And if you face also any problem, please write to us, send us a message to know. The course handbook, the duration of the online workshop, your input, the expectations quite high, quite pleased about this, and overall that the topics addressed on day one are useful and relevant for you. Okay, in general we have quite positive feedback, but always we try to improve, but also with this Medimeter, we wanted also to show you a nice and easy tool to use to engage students in quiz competitions or other stuff, or get some quick feedback in different stages of your course. Okay, Steph, the floor is back to you.
Yes, we are perfect on time, so I will not take absolutely more time. Tomorrow we will review backward planning again, and then we will start looking into the first area of the DigComp Edu and related competence, that is digital digital resources. So we will start also looking more in detail in tools.
But also you have time to again go
yes,
back to groups and discuss among exchange ideas and
exactly. So we will you know, use more input from our side and interactive session to gather also your experience in that respect. So thank you so much. We will see tomorrow morning. And I thank you for being so patient, because 4 hours is quite a long time. So thank you.
And also so punctual.
Yes, very much.
All the,
Absolutely. I was the only one a little bit late, but sorry, I'm Italian. And I know you know that we myself, I love very much to talk. So it was a pleasure.